How's everyone this morning and this new year? We're good? Good. My name is Brian Windell, and most people in the past have associated with me with Camp Oshpakung. And as many of you know, this past summer, we were there half the summer and then moved to St. Joseph Island, where we have taken up residence in Richards Landing, and we're now serving at Island Bible Chapel. So just ask that you would pray for us and our family as we settle in. We're starting to feel a little settled. We still are living amidst some boxes, but that's okay, and we're still learning our role. So so we look forward to being around this area a little bit more often and maybe hanging out with you a little more often and seeing you here, there, and in the Sioux and that sort of thing. So, so we're looking forward to this. And, of course, some of you probably thought, well, since he's gone from camp, he will finally shut up about that. No. So I just thought there are some really good things happening at Camp Oshpakung. They have this great young couple as new managing directors, and they've got some great ideas that they've been implementing. So I just wanted to remind you to register today, campabk.com. We were filling out the forms for our children recently. And if you are a teenager and you would love a mission this summer, short-term mission that you get paid for, summer staff applications are online too. So if you're interested in that, please check that out at campabk.com. There we go. All righty, so let's just pause here for a moment. Let's pray. Father God, we are going to ask by your Holy Spirit that you would teach us this morning. Father, it's my prayer that it would be your voice that's heard through your words proclaimed. Father, that we would catch a glimpse of your heart, which you want to do in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, mission is an important thing. Mission statements are good things that help us and can guide us and direct us as to our purpose. So let's play a game this morning. We are going to play the mission statement game. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put up a mission statement, and you are going to try to identify the organization by their mission statement. So just call it out this morning when you know. Here you go. To organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. Google. Yes, good, I heard that. That's it. How about this one? To provide fast and easy video access and the ability to share videos frequently. YouTube. That is YouTube. Yes. It's good. To save people money so they can live better. I heard it over here. Walmart. Good try on Scotiabank, but people on this side get it. Walmart. There we go. There we go. People working together as a lean global enterprise for automotive leadership. Ford, I heard it over here, yeah. Was probably the word lean that clued that one in, eh? So, sorry, I apologize, Ford owners. That was just too easy, that one. All right, here we go. To be our customer's favorite place and way to eat. How did you get that right? I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that one. But yes, it is McDonald's. All right, here we go. To refresh the world. Oh, good guess. Eat fresh. No, no. Ron Bone got it. Coca-Cola. Absolutely. Coca-Cola. All right, try this one. To inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time. It is Starbucks, thank you, yes. People are like, Tim Hortons, yeah, no. I'm not sure about that one either. I think it's to make tons of money by overcharging people for burnt coffee. That would be, I think that would maybe be a more accurate mission statement, but this one's not so much a mission statement as it is an infomercial, but this is the best I could find for them. Designs the best personal computers in the world, leads the digital musical revolution, has reinvented the mobile phone, and is defining the future of mobile media and computing devices. Yeah, I heard it over here, Apple. Absolutely, Apple. That, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's their mission. So here's the thing. We are going to study our mission this morning. Mission statements are important, and reviewing our mission is equally important. And so we're going to read Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. You can turn there. Early on, when we were directors at Camp Ashbakum, we went away to this conference, and one of the speakers there was a man named John McCauley, and he was the director at the time of Muskoka Woods, and he said this, training camp directors, he said, it's really important that your staff know the mission and that you review the mission. He said, you walk across my camp, and you can ask any one of my staff members, and they better be able to rhyme off the mission. He says, typically, you go to a camp, and you ask people, a bunch of people, what the mission is, and then you'll get a bunch of different answers. So I thought, I'm going to try that. So I went back to Camp Ashbakum, asked a bunch of people. I got a bunch of different answers. And so what we started there was to hone ourselves in and focus ourselves on the mission. We drilled it into our summer staff. We review it every week with our volunteer staff. And so our summer staff knew that every week at our staff meeting, I was going to call on one of them, and they needed to, quote, word perfect, our mission, that Camp Ashbakum exists to present the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the lives of children and adults through the camping experience. I wanted them to know it so that we focused everything in on that. And so we are going to this morning focus ourselves in on what our mission is. This is called the Great Commission for us as followers of the Lord Jesus. And so So turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Now, we are picking it up at the end of Matthew's gospel. And so just to catch the context here, this is just before Jesus' ascension. He has risen from the dead. Thank you for the person who said amen. That was the perfect spot for that. Let's try that again. He has risen from the dead. Amen. Absolutely. And he has spent 40 days teaching his disciples. Now, how would that have been to be his disciples that time? You get a Bible school course taught by Jesus himself. And what did he teach? We are told in Scripture he taught about the kingdom, and he taught them about who he was using the Old Testament Scriptures. So at the end of this, they go, and he's about to ascend. But before he leaves, he says this. Says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. A couple of things that we need to say about this just before we begin. First of all, this is not like Mission Impossible. Do you remember that old TV show? Not like the new Tom Cruise stuff, but the old Mission Impossible theme, right? The old cassettes and it was, Jim, this is your mission, should you choose to accept it, right? Now, we're not talking should you choose to accept it. I guess as followers of the Lord Jesus, you have the decision to make whether you're going to try to fulfill it, whether you're going to obey it, but the acceptance part, that's not really negotiable. This is what Jesus has left us with as our mission, as the Great Commission for us. Now, here's the thing. I'm a task-oriented person. Anybody who's been around me at camp knows that. And so so I'm a task-oriented people. Task-oriented people, what we do is we go straight to the go, don't we? We go straight to the go, and we skip the first part. And here's the thing, we need to understand what Jesus is saying. So let's try and break down what Jesus is saying in this passage for us. He says, first of all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Let's just stop there. The authority of Jesus warrants our mission. The authority of Jesus is what gives us the right for our mission. Authority is an important thing. Last year, we had an election in this country, and I always find interesting all of the backstories that happen and some of the things you get to learn about elections, and one of them that came out was this. There is only one person in the country of Canada who has the authority to dissolve Parliament and call an election. Who is that? That's the Governor General. The Prime Minister of this country does not have the authority in and of himself to do that. You and I don't have the authority in and of ourselves to do that. Whether you want to or not is not the issue. You don't have the authority. The only person who has the authority is the governor general, who has been granted that authority by the queen, right? He or she represents the queen. So authority is an important concept, particularly before we get to the go part, we need to understand the authority of Jesus. The authority of Jesus. Have you ever stopped to ask this question? What makes us think that we have the authority to go to someone else in a different culture with often different faiths or a different religion and try to convert them to Christianity? What gives us the right to go and preach the gospel hoping that they will convert to the faith that we hold dear? Answer: Jesus. Absolutely. Because we don't go in our own authority. You've got to get this. If I was to go just as myself in my authority and try to convince someone else, my authority and their authority, there is no difference. But I am going in the authority of Jesus, and that makes all the difference. And so we have to understand this, that we go in the authority of Jesus. It's his authority that warrants this whole mission of what God wants to do here on this earth. That's an important concept to understand. In fact, even that statement is completely offensive. David Platt said this: the most offensive and countercultural claim in Christianity is not what Christians believe about homosexuality, or abortion, marriage, or religious liberty. Instead, the most offensive claim in Christianity is that God is the creator, owner, and judge of every person on the planet. Every one of us stands before him guilty of sin, and the only way to be reconciled to him is through faith in Jesus, the crucified Savior and risen King. All who trust in his love will experience everlasting life, and all who turn from his lordship will suffer everlasting death. Those are offensive claims, but those are audacious claims. That is audacious. And if it was just me saying that, you would have no inclination to necessarily go and tell people. But it's not me. It's not you. It's Jesus, whose authority warrants this mission. It is Jesus, the one who is the image of the invisible God, the one who is the firstborn over all creation, the one who is before all things and in whom all things hold together, Colossians chapter 1. That is the one who we worship. He is the one who we obey when we go. It is his authority that allows us to go. I love this picture in the New Testament. Some of you may know this about me, but I am a retired professional mascot. I had a great job there. My alter ego was Smokey the Dragon. I worked for the Brantford Smoke, who were a semi-pro team in the Colonial Hockey League, what is now the IHL. And so I have this thing for mascots. I like mascots. And while I don't cheer for the Ottawa Senators, that was a part to say amen there too, but I don't cheer for the Ottawa Senators, I have a huge respect for their mascot, Spartacat. Have you seen Spartacat? He is this cartoony looking cat who's kind of dressed like a Trojan warrior, and he is Spartacat. He's called Spartacat, the ambassador of fun. Now, ambassadors represent someone whose authority is higher than themselves, and they have a message. So an ambassador represents someone greater than themselves, and they have a message. Spartacat, he represents the Ottawa Senators, and his message is fun, the ambassador of fun. Well, this is a concept that we have in the New Testament, that we are ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
We represent Christ, and our message is be reconciled to God. And I love that word that's in that verse, implored. Because that's the attitude we go with. It is not, I got Jesus' authority, so I'm going to lord it over you now. That's not what it is at all. No, we go and we implore people. We beg people. We call out to people, be reconciled to God. If you are here this morning and you are still in your sins have not been forgiven because you have not bent the knee to Christ as God, master over all. If you do not believe what he did for you on the cross, then I would implore you to be reconciled to Christ. Someone has said Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where there's food to be found. And I love that picture because that's the attitude that we go in when we go. But we go in the authority of Christ. Keep reading. For all of us task-oriented people, we're excited now. Therefore, go. Therefore, go. But don't miss the therefore. Anytime you see therefore in Scripture, you've got to know what it's there for. The therefore says, because of what's just come, now we do this. So because of the authority, therefore we go. The command of Jesus compels the mission. The command of Jesus compels us to go. Three things, he says. We're to make disciples, we're to baptize them, and we're to teach them obedience. Making disciples is gospel proclamation. Baptizing them, that's gospel symbolization. It's a picture of the gospel. And teaching them obedience really is gospel demonstration. When I obey Jesus as his follower, I'm really living out the gospel in my life. Let's take a look at these three. Making disciples. I'm saying it's gospel proclamation for this reason. There is this concept in North America, largely just in North America, that to share the good news with people, we should do that primarily by how we act. That it should be our lifestyle. And the poster boy for this is St. Francis of Assisi, right? You've heard the quote, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. There are two problems with that quote. First of all, it is not biblical. Second of all, he never said it. He never did. There is no record that St. Francis of Assisi ever said that until hundreds of years after he lived, even though we have biographies of him very close to his lifetime. And so there are a number of modern biographers who have looked at that and said he did not say that. In fact, if you read the early biographies, yes, Francis was known as a man who would go out and help the poor. He was known as a person who would go out and care for those who needed care. And that's what we remember him for. But we have forgotten his legacy as a fire and brimstone preacher. You don't hear that about him. But you read the earliest biographies, that's exactly what he did. He didn't just show people he cared. He proclaimed the message of the gospel. And so it's not either or, it is both. We have to show people the gospel. We'll get to that under gospel demonstration, but we have to proclaim it. Listen, if the Son of God, Jesus himself, came to this earth and used words, why do we think we don't have to? I'll tell you why. Because we're chicken. And it's a whole lot easier just to do something for someone than it is to open our mouths and tell them about what Jesus has done for them. And I know this. Because that's in my heart. I have that fear that creeps up on me when it comes to me having to tell someone about what Jesus has done for them and why they need a Savior. There are lots of ways that you could look in the Bible. The early church found the gospel in the Old Testament and preached it. Today, some people use the Romans Road. We use different verses in the epistles. Let's take a look at what Jesus said. Let's use Jesus' words. What was his message? What is the good news that we proclaim? In Mark 1, Jesus said this, "The kingdom of God is near, repent and believe." That was the heart of Jesus' message. Repent, turn from your sins, ask forgiveness, and believe in who I am. We remember in John 3, Jesus said, "You must be born again." Later in the chapter, that word again gets translated from above. D.A. Carson suggests the best way to understand that born again is that it's a second birth from above. If you've not experienced second birth from above, then you are still in your sins. Jesus said this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Don't stop there. Keep reading. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Don't stop there. Keep reading. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." We've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son, and so we stand condemned. But when we repent and believe, we're told in Scripture that there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. That's the heart of the good news of what we proclaim. That there is a chance not to be under condemnation anymore. But that there is someone who has come and who has been punished and has paid that punishment so that a holy God could be satisfied and yet still show love for us. So he sent Jesus. And so we don't just believe what Jesus did, we believe who he is. John 8, Jesus said, "I tell you, you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be." In fact, that "the one I claim to be" is not actually in the original. What it says is, "You will die in your sins unless you believe that I am." That's what Jesus said. Unless we believe that he is I am God, we will die in our sins. It's the heart of the message Jesus came to proclaim, who he is, what he did for us. And so it says in Luke 24, Jesus said, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." In his name. There's only one way to Jesus. There are not all roads lead to God. There's one road, it's called Jesus Street. That's the only road you can take to get there. It's the only one. That's why Jesus came and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So we go and we proclaim this good news of what Jesus has done for us. And then, when we've made disciples, we baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is really just an outward sign of what's already happened inside. It's a symbol that Jesus' followers for 2,000 years have been doing. Taking people, dunking them underwater, bringing them up upon confession of their faith in the Lord Jesus. It's all through the Bible. Read the book of Acts. You can't get away from this in the book of Acts. The Ethiopian eunuch in chapter 8, Saul in chapter 9, Cornelius in chapter 10, Lydia and the jailer in Acts 16, Crispus the synagogue ruler in Acts chapter 18, large numbers of people in Samaria, Caesarea, Corinth, Philippi, Ephesus, all baptized when they came to faith in the Lord Jesus. Why? Because baptism is this symbol of what God has done for us. Listen to these words from Romans 6. "Don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? We were baptized into his death. We therefore were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may be raised to live a new life." That's the picture that happens in baptism. We go down under the water, it's like we're dead, we're buried like Jesus was. We come out of the water, it's like we're raised to newness of life. It's a symbol of the gospel. I love baptisms. I don't know about you, but I just get so excited. Even if I'm the person standing on shore just watching, there'll be a smile on my face. After we left camp this summer in August, one of the first things I got to participate in when I came to Island Bible Chapel was a baptism. Well, what a way to start. That was God's work. And I just went, oh, thank you that I get to be part of that. Recently, I had a girl in our youth group come up to me. She said, Brian, I want to get baptized, but I want to do it at youth group. Can we do that? I'm like, we do that, but can we do that? I was like, we'll do it. Absolutely. So we're going to do that in a couple of weeks. We're going to baptize a girl at youth group. She wants to be baptized. She wants to show people that she has put her faith in the Lord Jesus. We have another one coming up after that. As people want to get baptized. Because that's how we show a picture of the gospel, and it's how we obey Jesus. We get baptized. And then we teach them to obey. Now, some of you are like, yeah! Obedience! That's what I've been waiting for. And some of you, you're like, okay, what's the next point? We're just going to move on there, right? See, it's more than just evangelism, it's discipleship. John MacArthur said, this kind of evangelism that's called for in this commission does not end with the conversion of the believer. Obedience is the heart of a disciple, which is really hard for you rebels in the crowd. I know it is. You see a rule sign and you think rules were meant to be. Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, I know it, right? That's right. That's why I often hear from the rebels, it's not about rules. It's all about relationship. It's all about grace, right? That's what we want to talk about. Listen, it's not either or, right? You can call them commands if it makes you feel better. But the reality is that there are things that God has left us to do. There are things that he has told us to do, and there are things that he's told us not to do. And part of our role in making disciples and baptizing them is to teach them these things and to model these things for ourselves. Jesus himself said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. See, that's hard on our ears in this world that we live in, where we define love primarily in sentimental terms. Some might argue exclusively in sentimental terms. Where love is emotive, it is a feeling. It's very hard for us to hear Jesus come along and say, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Kind of makes it sound like it's conditional. Yeah, it is. If you love me, you will obey my commands. It is. But Jesus' love for us is unconditional. But he says to us, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Here's the thing. If we start doing that, we start to get a picture of this type of love that's described in the New Testament, this agape love that gives without accepting, that's an all-encompassing type love that's not merely emotive, although I'm not saying there aren't emotions involved. I'm not saying that at the first service when we came together this morning at the breaking of bread, and we focused on the cross. The love of God was declared. We talked about the hope. Those are the three things I got out of it this morning. The cross, love, and hope. Heart just starts to well up, doesn't it? The thankfulness for all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. So there is that. But you know, there are times when I don't feel it. But I do it. Maybe more accurately, there are times I don't feel it that I should do it. Why? Because I claim to love my Lord. And I want to show him that. And so I do this. And so it's out of that love that I live. Colossians 2:6 says, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. How did we come to Christ? Through faith by grace. So how do we live? Through faith by grace, the same way. And so when we do that, we're really just demonstrating the gospel, are we not? And so what do? We do. We care for the poor. We look after the orphans and widows in their distress. We keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. John or James chapter 1. That's us living out the gospel. And that's what we're called to teach people. And that's what we're called to do ourselves. The gospel changes us. I don't miss this part, though. The presence of Jesus is what empowers us. Surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. As I was studying this passage, I couldn't help but notice all of the alls in it. Did you notice that? All authority. Go to all nations. All things. This mission that we have been given as followers of the Lord Jesus is massive. It is a sweeping mission. How in the world are we going to accomplish this? Answer? Jesus will empower us by his presence, by his Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's why Jesus said this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. In Philippians, Paul talks about the help that is given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says in Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It is God who works through us. Reminds me of the story of that old lumberjack who broke his favorite saw, went in to buy a new one, and so I'm looking for a saw, I broke my other one, and I said, wow, listen, old timer, we got something good for you. And pulls out a chainsaw, puts it on the table. He says, you will do twice as much, if not more. This will revolutionize your whole logging business. The old guy says, sounds good to me. Went away a week later, he comes back, throws the thing on the counter, says, you lied to me. This thing's next to useless. I'm cutting less than half of what I did before. And the guy said, is it broken? I don't know, must be. So he pulled it, the salesman puts it in, pulls the pull card. Lumberjack jumps back and says, whoa, how'd you do that? Right? He's been trying to cut down a tree with a chainsaw that's not running. How often is that how we try to serve God? We're going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'll be the man. You be the woman. Whoever, that's what we think. And how often is it that we've missed the power that by his Holy Spirit Jesus can give? I was at the back before we came up here just praying, going, God, I can get up and do public speaking. I can make people laugh in my own way. I can talk. I don't want it to be me. I want it to be the Holy Spirit speaking this morning. And I want it to be the Holy Spirit not just speaking to you, but speaking to me. I've just moved to 1719 Shore Road. I'm just starting to get to know some of my neighbors in Richard's Landing. I've just started praying for my neighbors. God, give me an opportunity to share with them the good news of what Jesus has done. And when I think of how I'm going to do that, it scares the living daylights out of me. How do I do that? Why would I do that? Because the authority of Jesus warrants my mission to do that. The command of Jesus compels me to do that. In the presence of Jesus, I'm just taking it on faith that he's going to empower me to do that. We all have friends and neighbors and co-workers and family members who need to hear about Jesus. So here's my challenge for you this morning as I close. My challenge for you is this. My challenge for you is to think of a few people that you're going to pray for and look for opportunities to share God's love with, not just in actions, but also in words. And if that's too hard for you, I want you to think of one person, just one. Over the course of 2016, this year, you will do that for. And if that's too hard for you, too bad, suck it up and get at least one that you can pray for, that you are going to commit to bring him before the throne, and you're going to commit to looking for opportunities to share the love of Jesus with. That's my challenge for you. But if you're here this morning and you have never asked Jesus to forgive you for your sins, my challenge for you
is to humble yourself, to come to Jesus, to ask him to forgive you for your sins, to accept the gift of salvation that his death on the cross paid for, so that your sins can be forgiven, that his resurrection showed the power of and confirmed who he was. That's my challenge for you. I'm going to call the worship band back to pray to play Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. That's the heart of our message, the message that we have if we are followers of Jesus, and the heart of the message that you need to accept if you're not yet. Just as the band is coming, I'm just going to pray and end our time here. Father God, our prayer as your church is that you would focus us on our mission. God, there is so much that distracts me in this world. Help me to be refocused on what you want, on sharing the good news with people, to raise up more disciples, more followers, more people who will lift high the name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray, and for his glory, amen.